on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
John Hanson, Your Money Matters, 641, reading from Cranes and Dennis Rodgen. He writes that Chicago area home prices are growing twice as fast as the nation's. It's the exact opposite of what was happening a year ago. So when I got questions about homes in our area or across the country, because she does it all, Kari Kohler, I call you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, John.
What's going on here? Is this matching what you're seeing in our local market?
It absolutely is, and it's very exciting information for Chicagoland sellers in particular. Obviously, it's a major opportunity for them.
I mean, we're talking about prices up 9.6% from the same time a year ago, whereas the rest of the country is 3.9%. So is Chicago just in our area a really attractive destination, or are we benefiting a little bit from the fact that we didn't have a giant boom like some of the other areas that now are experiencing a little bit of a downslide?
Yes, and that is exactly what they report in this article, and that is exactly what we're feeling in the market. I remember the days looking at California and Arizona and New York and Florida and just feeling like those sellers were so fortunate and my sellers here in the Chicagoland area were taking a beating. Well, now the tables have turned. It's our time to shine. It's the Chicagoland area's seller's opportunity. And they were very specific in the article to say, it's obviously the city's doing well. It also includes the suburbs because they included nine counties in this study from the National Association of Realtors.
What's the inventory like out there right now?
Very low. And that's what I want people to know. So the homeowners are thinking, well, gosh, unless I have to move, I'm not going to move. And that is because the majority of homeowners have an interest rate that's less than 4%. Many people have 2.7. So in order, you know, they're going to be paying more in their new home, almost regardless of what the sale price is or what the purchase price is. So they're hesitant to move, which is making supply very low in the Chicagoland area. I just want sellers to see that there is an opportunity, though, if they do need to move, if, you know, they need a larger home, a smaller home, a different floor plan, a different town, this is a time to capitalize on an opportunity of increased sale prices, low inventory. It makes it easier to sell, and you can sell for more money.
The Fed meeting yesterday seemed to indicate that the rates could stay higher for longer, the Fed rate, and mortgage rates not directly tied to that, but in many ways they are. So if someone's waiting on the sidelines for to change in the next month or two, Kari, I don't know if this number is going down, this 7.2. What do you think?
Well, right, and I think none of us really do know. It's an interesting concept because now sales, the number of sales in the Chicagoland area has decreased substantially also. So I guess that's a question for a very advanced economist. I mean, what's the plan there?
Right.
So we're not having as much money move through the economy. I know they're trying to slow down spending, but real estate really is a huge part of the economy.
Yeah.
So this is a really interesting study.
Yeah. I'm curious what you think will happen if rates drop into the sixes or the mid sixes. Is it all of a sudden everyone who's been on the sideline sees that and jumps back in? And then, boy, it could be chaos again.
Yes, it will be chaos again. I think that it's just a no-brainer because supply is so low, and then all of a sudden if these buyers that are waiting on the fence jump in, it's going to be the rodeo again. Now, we're very, very skilled at handling that rodeo. So if you need a skilled agent, I'm the one in my team to help you with that. And again, huge benefit to a Chicagoland seller and people in the city as well as people in the suburbs. Everyone can benefit from this.
For sure.
If you're a seller.
Right, Right. And there's opportunities for buyers, though it's tough, but maybe not 20 different offers on a house and escalating costs, not quite the same thing. Kari, we're out of time. I know you do work not only here, you help people relocate. There's other cities you work in. Where can people reach you at, Kari?
They can call my main number, which is 630-587-4700. And our website is thekohlergroup.com, spelled Kohler, K-O-H-L-E-R. Thank you so much for this time today.
Oh, as always, Kari, you're the best. We'll talk again soon. Okay, Your Money Matters here on a Thursday edition. I'm really excited to chat with Paul Kim. He's an associate editor, personal finance at Insider. And Paul, I'm glad to have you on. I want to talk about credit. But I also have been reading a little bit about your credit journey. Even as you were a personal finance reporter starting that journey, you had to go through a little credit score rehab too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of a dirty little secret of mine is that as the credit score editor at Personal Finance Insider, I had like a pretty bad credit score for a while.
How bad?
I think it was around 500 for a while,
forgive me, I shouldn't have asked such a personal question. That was a little rude of me, Paul. I'm sorry.
No problem. No, I'm sort of very upfront with that. It was, in the 500s, sort of clawed my way up to the 600s. I sort of through the process of talking to people, editing stories, learning about my beat, just started putting in best practices and getting my way back up there.
I think that serves as a good example for people out there that even us who talk about finance all the time, we're kind of dealing with all the same things too. And I don't know, I think that makes you as a journalist that struggle, you can reflect what a lot of readers are going through your questions and the articles you choose to write.
No, absolutely. I speak for the people.
And what was definitely that journey like? So how did you get out of it? What are a couple quick tips for people that are experiencing the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think that for me, the reason that I got into full disclosure, I didn't pay off my credit card bill for like 60 days, like a 60-day delinquency on my credit report. And I just didn't sort of understand the importance of credit scores at the time. Before I was at Personal Finance Insider, I didn't know anything about personal finance. And so, really, I think first off, just understanding the ramifications of your credit score, what that means for, your credit or your borrowing, the interest rates you're paying on your credit cards. I think for me, that was, step number one.
So, Paul, you were talking about going on the journey of getting your score better and kind of just understanding first and foremost what impacts a score and how to start mending it, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, payment history obviously was the most important thing. I think it's super easy to forget. At the end of the month, you forget that you had a credit card bill to pay off. Auto payments obviously are a super helpful thing. But one thing that I started doing was just paying off my bill multiple times a month.
Yep.
Just whenever you think about your credit card bill, just log into your app, pay it off.
I do it every Friday, Paul. I do it every Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. It really helps. And I think it also kind of helps keep the balance down, because I find that when it starts getting up there, it becomes emotionally harder to pay off.
Yep.
And so if every other week it's $300, that's way easier than something over $1,000. You're I got to pay off $1,000 of credit card debt.
Right. Paul, I want to ask you one.
In my experience.
Yeah, I want to ask you one thing. We got about a minute and a half left. The power of asking, you've written about the communicating with your creditor. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think that, credit card companies, these huge banks, we kind of forget that a lot of things that you can do are, person to person, and you can just ask for things. I think that's a super underrated way to get ahead in your finances. For example, you can ask for a better APR. You can ask for higher credit limits every 6 months on your credit cards. I think it's a super underrated, very simple thing that you can do to improve your odds
I want to point out one thing you just said, asking for higher credit limits. You don't mean so that you can spend up to the limit. You mean so that you can improve kind of the ratio so it looks like you have more credit available when they take that score, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. You can sort of tug, you know, I think a lot of people talk about improving your credit utilization ratio by keeping your balances low. And you can also tug on that, you know, the other half of that and increase the limit that you have available to you, not to max out your credit cards at a higher level, but to, you know, the balance is going to be the same, but it's going to be less of your credit.
Right. And that percentage goes down. Paul, we just kind of scratched the surface. I hope you come back on again, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Paul Kim, Associate Editor of Personal Finance at Insider. So just to recap the three things, communicate with your creditor, ask them for things, higher APR, pay off your credit card every single week. That bumped my score up like 10 or 15 points right away. And the third thing was ask for higher credit limits when you have reason to, right? If you're making a little bit more money, you have a longer history, that makes your percentage of credit used lower by default. You're not spending any more money. And it just makes you look a little bit more advantageous as a credit score.